Hello, I'm Kim.
And I'm Avantika.
And welcome to our podcast called The Confessions of Plath with Avantika and Kim,
where we talk about the brilliant poet, Miss Sylvia Plath.
This podcast is done as a collaboration for our course assessment of American literature.
In this course, we study all about American literature of the 20th century. So, we have come across many amazing authors and poets, but Sylvia Plath was the one poet that stood out to the most of us.
Yes, and as English majors and poetry lovers, we have decided to do a podcast on her.
In the first episode, we will look at the life of Sylvia Plath.
Sylvia Plath was born on October 27, 1932 in Boston, Massachusetts, United States, and she died on February 11, 1963 in London, England. She was an American poet whose best-known works, including the poems Daddy and Lady Lazarus, as well as the novel The Bell Jar, vividly express a sense of alienation and self-destruction closely tied to her personal experiences and furthermore the situation of women in mid-century America.
Plath's first poem was published when she was just 8 years old. She participated and won numerous writing contests, and she sold her first poem to the Christian Science Monitor and her first short stories to 17 magazine while still in high school. She was a co-winner of the Mademoiselle magazine writing contest in 1952 and entered Smith College on a scholarship in 1951. Plath had a great creative, academic, and social success at Smith, but she also struggled with severe depression, attempted suicide, and spent time in a mental facility. She received a Fulbright Fellowship to Newnham College in Cambridge, England, after graduating from Smith with honors in 1955. She married Ted Hughes, an English poet as well, in 1956, and they had 2 children together. Hughes' relationship with another woman caused the pair to split up in 1962.
Plath was an English instructor at Smith College from 1957 to 1958. Her first collection of poems, The Colossus, was published in 1960, shortly after she returned to England with Hughes, and it garnered many positive reviews. Under the alias Victoria Lucas, her novel The Bell Jar was published in London in 1963. The novel is strongly autobiographical, and it recounts a young college girl's mental collapse and eventual recovery, which echoes Plath's own breakdown and hospitalization in 1953.
Plath then abandoned the limitations and norms that had bound most of her early work during her final 3 years. She penned poems of harsh self-revelation and confession at incredible speeds. The worry, confusion, and doubt that plagued her were transformed into powerful, pathos-filled lyrics, supported on bursts of sharp wit. Her poem Daddy, as well as a few others, explores her difficult relationship with her father, Otto Plath, who died when she was 8 years old. She committed suicide in 1963, following this outburst of activity.
Sylvia Plath kept a journal for most of her life, and the Unabridged Journals of Sylvia Plath was released in 2000, covering the years 1950 to 1962. In 2003, Gwyneth Paltrow starred in a biographical film about Plath called Sylvia. Plath's radio play, The Three Women, was professionally presented for the first time in 2009. And in 2017, a collection of Plath's letters from 1940 to 1956 was published. The next year, a second collection containing her final letters, including a number of honest comments to her therapist, was published. Mary Ventura and the Ninth Kingdom, a story created in 1952, was published for the first time in 2019.
The collected poems, which include many previously unpublished poems, was published in 1981 and won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry in 1982, making Sylvia Plath the first deceased recipient of the award. Ted Hughes, who became the executor of Plath's estate, collated several of her later writings. However, both the estate's control of her work's copyright and his editing procedures sparked major controversy, particularly when he revealed that he had destroyed her last journals written before her suicide.
In this episode, we refer to the website Britannica, the editors of Encyclopedia. The title of the website was called Sylvia Plath, and Encyclopedia Britannica was the publisher. It was published on 23rd October 2021 and accessed on 29 December 2021.
Thank you so much for listening to Plath with Avantika and Kim.
We will now see you in the next episode. Hello, I'm Kim.
And I'm Avantika.
And welcome to our podcast called The Confessions of Plath with Avantika and Kim,
where we talk about the life and work of the brilliant poet, Miss Sylvia Plath. In this episode, we will look at Sylvia Plath's views on death and love.
Sylvia Plath was a brilliant poet who committed suicide on February 11, 1963, at the age of 30. Though some argue that Plath had been flattened into the prototype of the mentally tormented poet, the betrayed woman, and the tragic literary blonde, Plath's private writing reveals a complicated and troubled woman whose constant struggle to understand the meaning of life took a more and more sorrowful turn.
When a female author commits suicide, it marks the end of her career. Everything she accomplished, everything she generated during her life, from Virginia Woolf to Sarah Kane, it becomes a part of a death drive story. Sylvia Plath, a poet and novelist from the United States, is one of the most well-known female artists whose suicide has come to define her. Her name has since been associated with female angst, as indicated by their prevalence in pop culture settings. Her works depict rebellious but unhappy young women, such as Kat in the teen rom-com 10 Things I Hate About You from 1999, Maeve, in the Netflix series Sex Education, carries a copy of The Bell Jar. Plath has become an emblem of the girl outcast who rejects traditional notions of femininity in order to take control of her own life and death.
When it comes to suffering and depression, many feminist authors' collected works are often neglected, as if it were a quality that only some people possessed. Few authors, however, do a better job of illustrating the complexity of depression than Sylvia Plath. Plath's legacy is generally defined by her desire to die, and Plath's life was plagued with suicide attempts. Her poetry and fiction are rich with references to the concept of inevitability. When you examine the author's background, it's simple to see why she has such a disturbing fixation. When put into context, her father's death is perhaps the event that had the most impact on her poetry and the fiction that followed.
According to excerpts from Sylvia Plath's diaries, the day after she met Ted Hughes, she foresaw that their relationship would lead to her death. Plath, one of the greatest poets of the 20th century, committed suicide at the age of 30 in 1963, only months after divorcing her husband and fellow poet Ted Hughes. Plath's account of the explosive romance that has intrigued the literary world for 40 years is revealed for the first time in the diaries. They also feature a series of private revelations that provide new insight on Plath's complicated sexuality, depression, and loathing of her mother.
After her first meeting with Ted Hughes at a Cambridge party, she wrote a full-page poem called Pursuit about the dark forces of lust. Pursuit begins with the following lines. There is a panther stalking me down. One day I'll have my death of him. Plath had gone to visit a new psychiatrist the morning of their encounter, according to her diary.
Hughes significantly altered the journals 20 years ago, removing two-thirds of her statements, the most of which were about him. Only recently have his omissions been corrected, and the journals have been released in their entirety. Hughes had also removed Plath's references to his personal depression, as well as certain references to their sex life. However, the journals revealed that their rocky 7-year romance was also filled with joy. She frequently expressed her delight in discovering, quote, the enormous, shattering, dangerous love, end quote.
With that, we come to an end of this episode. Our references for this episode were from the website BBC Culture, published on 21st July 2021. The title was called Sylvia Plath, Will the Poet Always Be Defined by Her Death? Written by Crawford Lillian.
We also referred to The Guardian, Love, Loathing, and Life with Ted Hughes, from The Guardian News and Media, published on 18 March 2000. The writer was Wynor Catherine.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Kim.
And I'm Avantika.
And welcome to Confessions of Plath with Avantika and Kim,
where we talk about the brilliant poet, Miss Sylvia Plath.
For this episode, we are going to talk about the themes of death and redemption in Sylvia Plath's poetry,
along with talking about some of our favorite poems of hers too.
My personal favorite poem of hers is Daddy.
Oh, that's a good one, Kim. And my personal favorite is Mad Girl's Love Song, which is written in the style of a villanelle written in 1953. The poem is very much a poem about love, but is a lot about delusion and denial, as she writes about falling in love with someone that she isn't sure even exists.
Plath wrote a lot of poems with the themes of death and redemption in them, but the most notable ones are Ariel,
Daddy,
Lady Lazarus,
and Nick and the Candlestick, which are the poems we are going to talk about today.
Now, Ariel was a horse that Plath used for her morning rides.
Yes, But that's not the only way the poem can be interpreted. Ariel is also another name for Jerusalem, the city of David, according to the Bible, Isaiah 29, verses 1 to 3 and 5 to 7.
This adds credibility to our belief that the poem is a metaphor for resurrection. And besides, Plath had to get up after falling off the horse, and she had to get up in the morning from her slumber.
The pictures are as vivid and direct as any in Plath's poetry. The blue is wonderfully contrasted with the dark. Her line, "God's lioness," is a powerful picture that depicts the sun rising after a long night.
If we look at it from another viewpoint, we may think that Sylvia Plath may have experienced a brief moment of unconsciousness after falling off her horse.
Oh, most definitely. The poem Daddy is densely filled with allusions and historical parallels. Plath appears to be comparing herself to individuals who have struggled under the German Nazi regime, and at times is a motif that appears in many of Plath's writings. However, one of Plath's most prevalent lines is seen in lines 57 to 60.
She writes, "I was 10 when they buried you. At 20 I tried to die and get back, back to you. I thought even the bones would do."
Of course, this is a specific parallel to her first attempt at suicide. Plath attempted but failed to take her whole space when she was just 20 years old. Plath recounts the experience as blissfully succumbing to whirling blackness that I believed was eternal oblivion. Plath, line 131.
One may argue that the poet is striving to be as near to her father as attainable by dying beneath a home. A few of the poem's more dramatic lines come after this turning point.
The idea that makes the poem so important is not just the descriptions of death and suicide, but of the life that was to follow. References to marriage and the melancholy mood finally led to a successful suicide attempt are abruptly revealed.
Nick and the Candlestick tries, to some extent, to maintain the themes explored in Ariel. In the poem's middle sections, for example, one is met with the world's overpowering harshness.
In Nick and the Candlestick, a mother goes through a dark horse towards her sleeping child, and this mundane activity is linked with a symbolic plunge into a haunting underworld. The poem is also addressed to her son, Nicholas Plath.
The poem is primarily about a newborn infant. It begins with an image of a womb that is intimately tied to death. Plath's earthen womb is both a subterranean afterlife and a source of fresh life. Plath's son, Nicholas, was born just before her marriage dissolved, and the poem opens with dead boredom. Plath had recently divorced her spouse when she penned the poem.
And finally, we have Lady Lazarus, which is a poem that completely encapsulates the themes of death and redemption in a nutshell.
Plath writes about how she wants to die and has attempted to do so multiple times.
This poem was written shortly before her passing. She talks about all the reasons she wants to end her life. Oppression is one of the main reasons.
She goes on to describe the being a dead corpse in the most gruesome way, giving us an insight into her mind and that of a mentally ill suicidal individual's thought process.
This poem, more than any other, concentrates on the concepts that typically characterize the author, which is death, individuality, and redemption. The poem ends hopeful and shows the theme of redemption.
What makes you say that, Avantika?
Well, Kim, as she says in the lines, quote, "Her God, her Lucifer, beware, beware. Out of the ash I rise with red hair, and I eat men like air." Platt, line 79 to 84. I feel she knew her death was looming over her, but she knew that even if she died, she would one day be reborn into a world where men and women are equal and no longer suffer the wrath of oppression. And women like her would finally get their redemption.
Wow, Avantika, that is a wonderful way to put it. And with that, we come to an end of this episode of Plath with Avantika and Kim.
Our references for this episode were Barnes M, Sylvia Plath, Depression, Redemption, and Inspiration, from the article The World is Ahead, 19th April 2016.
Another reference was from Ariel, a summary and analysis by Sylvia Plath from Beaming Notes, published 23rd August 2020 by Pritesh Chakraborty.
Next was the Northern Anthology of Literature by Women, Daddy, published by Gilbert Sandra Gubard, New York, in the 2007 print by Sylvia Plath herself.
Another one is by the Northern Anthology of Literature by Women, again published by Sandra Gilbert in the New York print.
The Anthology of Literature by Women, Nick and the Candlestick, by Plath Sylvia, Northern Print 2007.
And finally, Lady Lazarus, the Northern Anthology of Literature by Women, published in the New York Print 2017.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
Bye, we'll see you in the next episode. Hello everyone, I'm Kim.
And I'm Avantika.
And welcome to Confessions of Plath with Avantika and Kim,
where we talk about the brilliant poet, Miss Sylvia Plath.
For this fourth and final episode of our podcast, we are going to talk about The Bell Jar, the only novel that Sylvia Plath ever wrote.
We will summarize it and critically analyze it and review it.
Now, the novel The Bell Jar was initially published in January 1963 under the pen name Victoria Lucas and then republished after her death under her actual name.
The Bell Jar tells the story of Esther Greenwood, who is clever, beautiful, extremely skilled, and prosperous, but who is slowly collapsing, possibly for the final time. Sylvia Plath expertly takes the reader into Esther's collapse with such passion that Esther's madness appears utterly genuine and even sensible, as lightly and approachable as watching a movie. Such in-depth exploration of the dark and terrifying recesses of the mind is an incredible achievement, and it has helped to establish The Bell Jar as a disturbing American classic.
The book dramatizes the connection between both the concept of a distant and separative self and the societal forces that have repressed women. The constant symbolism of disintegration expresses the alienation that leads to Esther Greenwood's meltdown and suicidal attempt.
The healing plaid crafts for the protagonist just retells the compulsively pictured disintegration in the first half of the novel. This so-called healing contradicts the self's interrelatedness, leaving Esther to identify herself mistakenly and unwillingly in connection to culturally established preconceptions about women.
Despite the fact that current feminist theory has raised questions on the validity of the filtering model of one's unique identity, critics have applied the same ideas about the identity to the book as they do to Platt's work. And as a result, they have missed out on what the novel has to say about the negative consequences of our cultural attachment to women.
The Bell Jar, which was first praised for its sarcastic self-deprecation and uncompromising honesty, is today regarded as a devastating criticism of the 1950s politics. Platt drew striking parallels between Esther's growing knowledge of the restricted feminine roles open to her and her growing isolation and anxiety.
The contradictory demands put on women in terms of sexuality, parenthood, and intellectual performance are linked to Esther's fractured perception of herself. Her ability to reject the novel's dominant conceptions of women will determine her ultimate rehabilitation.
It is easy to know once you read the book that it was influenced by events that took place in Platt's early 20s. Despite the fact that the piece finishes on an optimistic note, Platt, however, committed suicide in 1963, just at the age of 30.
The book is constructed in the form of memories and flashbacks that disclose details about Esther's history. The flashbacks mostly revolve around Esther's connection with Buddy Willard. In addition, the reader learns further about her formative years.
The Bell Jar deals with the issue of a socially acceptable identity. It investigates Esther's desire to construct her individual identity, to be herself instead of what others demand of her. Esther is supposed to become a homemaker and a self-sufficient lady with little opportunities for advancement.
Esther believes she is a hostage to domestic responsibilities and is afraid of losing her real self. The Bell Jar seeks to emphasize the issues associated with authoritarian, patriarchal culture in mid-century America.
This book ultimately depicts mental health therapy in the late 1950s. Platt uses Esther's narrative to represent her experiences of mental health therapy. This novel not only takes a back seat to feminist debate and questions the lifestyle for women in the 1950s, but it also provides a specific example of a lady battling with psychological disorders.
And with that, we come to an end. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
Our references for this episode were Diane S. Bond's 1990, The Separative Self in Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar, Women's Studies, 49-64 DOI,
as well as The Bell Jar Encyclopedia Britannica, published in the Encyclopedia Britannica website on 21st December 2018. Thank you so much.